Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
We've got something a little different that we're going to start with today, and I'm pretty excited about this because I get to introduce one of my favorite people in the whole world. And you've probably figured out who that is, but she really is. And I want to kind of set this up for her before she comes up here to speak. But back about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, somewhere right around the first part of December, Jessica had the privilege of speaking at our morning assembly at CMA. And when she finished, really, you just could have heard a pin drop in that room. It was amazing. And I could not shake it. And that tells you that it's from the Lord. I could not shake what she shared. And I told everybody about it. And I walked away from there and I said, I have just heard one of the best things I've heard preached all year, or maybe ever. And that's not a, nothing to anybody that's ever stood up here and spoken, but I'm just telling you, it was of the Lord. And I was just so moved. And so I because I was moved by what she shared, I couldn't not tell other people about it. And Pastor happened to be down in my office a few days later, and I started gushing to him about what she had done. And while I'm talking, he gets his phone out and he goes, just keep talking. And he just starts doing all this on his phone. So when I got to a stopping point, he said, okay. He said, I've been praying about what we need to talk about on Rewind Sunday. And he said, this is it. This is it. And I'm telling you, you are getting ready to hear something very powerful. I really want to encourage you to just receive what the Lord would say to you right now, because Jess has something powerful. Now, let me also say this. Y'all can be a little bit scary sometimes. You don't mean to be, but you can be. So I want to encourage you to help her by being attentive and by being having a look on your face that says, yes, Jess, tell me what you have to say. I want to hear it. Okay, so help her in that way. But she has a wonderful testimony that she's going to share. So I'm going to now shut up, and I am going to give the microphone to Jessica Cadle. Come on, give it.
Thank you. All right, I want to start by reading you guys something. Saying you are one way but acting another is being a hypocrite. The question is not, is God doing something, but what is God doing in me? There is something to be learned from everyone. There is great, bigger, and new available for each person's life. Though it's not about us, but it's what God can do through us. At some point, we have got to do something, for God has been doing something all along. We can't move in without moving out. If we had faith, it would change the situations we are in. We create the world we live in, so we must listen to what's coming out of our mouths. If we are not fighters, we must become fighters. For everyone is fighting something, but who is winning? Satan will come after our word because he knows the power our word has to do something in and through us. We must stop watering what we don't want and give our attention to what we want to grow. Our faith needs to be so strong that we can speak to anything. Leave, come back, and see it changed. We Christians need to pull the trigger and activate our faith. Stability or instability is what determines if we will receive something from God. We need to get rid of our drive-through faith and dine in, because we dine in to enjoy someone's company. That's the Lord, and we can receive what we need from him in faith. It is important to spend time with him. We need to relate to and think about those around us. Satan will come against us when life's not going well, but he will also come against us when we think we have it figured out. Change forces us to choose, and we can choose to actively determine the outcome. A wholehearted person is not afraid of what God has told them, and they're not afraid of the next. God wants us to want his blessings. We make the commitment, then we proclaim it. When we are worried or fretting, it will stop us, not move us in our walk with God. While we live in godliness right now, we will receive blessings and prosperity. So give your attention to the Spirit of God and stay there. The more God wants to use us, the more tempted we will be to quit. Everyone has a story that God has written in his or her life. So, if each of us does the right thing and stays, God will bless us. For sometimes, the greatest act of faithfulness is staying right where we are. True love does not exist in the absence of judgment, but true love exists in the presence of judgment. Our confidence should not be in ourselves, but in God, and the value that he has placed in us. True compassion is when we are making a judgment out of deep conviction and we go and do something about it. If we never learn to honor our parents, we will never learn to honor God. God wants to give us wisdom, but are we asking God for it? If we are we responding to what wisdom wants? We will never find fulfillment in any other relationship if we don't find fulfillment in the Lord first. True thankfulness comes from a joyful heart. If we want our hearts to change, we need to go after the Lord's heart. For the Lord's heart is full of joy. It's pure and right. With this heart, we can honor God. And when we honor God, we can honor others around us. Don't live on the high of being right. Instead, run to win the race to get a prize for what's right, not what's going to end up hurting us in 5 years. We will have struggles, but they can grow us and build our faith. In all of this, don't forget, we have benefits that are promised if we live a godly life. So, I don't know if any of this sounds familiar to you guys, but it sure does to me. I took, from September till December 1st, I took all the sermons from Sundays and Wednesdays, and I combined it all into one. And like Mel was saying, I attend CMA, and so like she was explaining me having to do morning assembly. Well, what that is, and it's definitely a privilege that us, at the students at CMA have, is that each day before we start our paces and do all our work and curriculum and everything, we get to hear a short message about like 15 minutes at the most of what God is doing in someone else's life, or just like a quick sermon, basically. And so me being a senior and some of the other high classmen in our school get to do it too. And on Thursdays, we get to speak in front of the whole school. And so this kind of originated from me not wanting to do anything. And so to be completely honest with you guys, I didn't want to be up there. I didn't want to. And normally when I do, I'm really excited to. I've done it 3 times, I think, and so the times before that, I had wanted to, and I had the word done, like, after the last time I just got done speaking, so, like, this time, it was, like, and it's really cool to think about it, because I was, like, thinking over it as the, like, as it was going by and everything, and we had a snow day, so it was Kiana's day to speak, and so she didn't end up getting to speak, so she spoke the next Thursday, when it was supposed to be mine. So then that Thursday she spoke, and then, so now it's 2 weeks in advance, and I'm on the 3rd week, and I'm supposed to be speaking, and I'm like, I still don't have anything done. And I knew that was confirmation from the Lord, because I hadn't had anything done. And to be completely honest with you guys, I had been going through a lot of stuff. I had gotten myself in a place where I did not want to do anything. I didn't want to be at church. I didn't want to be at school. I wanted to disclude myself from my family, and because of that, I was in a stage of depression almost, and I couldn't move forward. I was stuck, and so I had been going through this, and pretty much what it is that it was a family problem that started with my heart, because I started taking everything that God had given me for granted, and because of that, all the decisions that I made after that started to be something that I knew I was doing wrong, but I didn't care, because you know what? I still have everything that I need. And so because of that, I ended up getting myself in a deeper hole than what I was before. And it ended up leading to me being disrespectful and hurting my parents. And the thing is that, The thing is that no matter how much you hurt those who love you, they'll still love you. And so I ended up going through my notes and everything, and it was all good, and I still didn't feel right, but I had normally not done that, and that's what my parents have always told me before to do, and I never did. And so before I did this, which is crazy to think about, but I had the choice of leaving or staying with my parents. And for y'all that don't know, I am adopted. I've been with them for 10 years, and I've been adopted for 8. So the family wasn't functioning right because of everything that I was doing. And so they told me that you can stay with us and make things right and make this family function like you know you can because you've done it before. Or you can leave and you can tell us this on Wednesday night. And it was whenever Chapman was speaking. And he talked about us having a thankful spirit with a joyful heart. And the problem that I had from the very beginning was that my heart wasn't right. So first of all, I definitely don't have a joyful heart, and I ain't giving thanks for nothing. And so I was struggling. I was like, this is really bad. And I'm like, I know I'm supposed to stay, because before that, Paul Kern came and spoke about us staying and not quitting. And so I had the answer all along that I was supposed to stay here. And I wouldn't be up here right now if I hadn't. And so I stayed. Because I did, I'm here. And that's just a little side note to my testimony. There's so much more to it than I can take all day to explain. So I'm not going to. But if you get into your notes and actually listen to what's being told to you, you will be blown away to what you're hearing. But, and I love the fact that God's always speaking to us. And like Chapman was saying earlier, that he's always there. He never changes. The only fact is that I was the one that had changed, and he had been there all along. And he was like, Jess, grab my hand. Let's get out of this. You can. And I was like, no, I don't want your hand. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to listen to what's being told to me. And so because of that, I ended up getting myself in such a deep circumstance that I didn't know what to do, and I wasn't doing anything to get myself out of it. And so through time, it got worse. And so my dad brought me downstairs, and he's like, Jess, we need to talk, because there's something going on. You're not explaining us. And normally whenever that happens, it takes forever for me to actually let everything out. And I don't know what the problem is, but I don't do it. And so I sat there, and Dad's like, I'm not leaving, and I have to go to work tonight, and I'm not going to leave until you tell me what's going on, because you're not going to change it if you don't speak. And so that's always been a thing that they've told me. Like, if I want my situation to change, I don't need to speak it into existence, but I need to speak it out and rebuke it out of existence. And so that's what I did. I told them. I was like, I feel like I've let everyone down. I feel like I've let my church family down. I feel like I've let my youth family down. I feel like I've let my immediate family down. Like, I don't know what to do. And I just come to the end of myself. And he's like, you need to get in your notes. I was like, oh, really? That's what I've been doing. I was like, are you serious? Of all things that you could have told me, this is what you told. That's what you said. That's what you told me to do. And I was like, I had been in there in my room before he came and asked me to come down there. And I was like, I don't know where to start. I know I need to figure out what I'm going to speak on. So normally whenever that happens, I was like, Lord, I just need you to show me something, whatever. I don't know. I need something. So I started from the very beginning and started looking at all the titles of each sermon that we've had since the school started till December 1st. And I was blown away, literally blown away, because everything that was said had something to do with what I needed to get out of the situation I had put myself in. And what blows my mind is I had knew that. I knew that. I had heard it. I had seen it. I just didn't do anything about it. I didn't activate the faith inside of me, the word that needed to be activated for me to get out of my situation. And so I did. And I gave the word to at school and everything. But what really shakes me is that I wasn't completely done. If I told you that everything that I've done since I spoke at school has been perfect and well, I'd be lying. Everyone has struggles that they go through. Everyone's always facing something. That's whenever that line, I don't know who said it, but we all need to learn how to become fighters because we're all fighting something. And you know, half the time we have what we need to get through it, but we don't. We just don't choose to. And so because of that, we don't get the blessing that would come in advance if we would have had pushed through and done what the Lord wanted us to do. And so if I had anything to encourage you guys with, it'd be to know that the Lord, like Chapman said, is always there. That's what I had it in my notes. Mel can say, I had it down. God's always there. He's always going to be for you. He's always going to give you a way out of the situation you're in. You can never walk through the fire where he's not walking beside you. Like nothing will burn you when you're walking in his will. And I was out of his will. That's why I was getting burned. There's one thing that I feel like I need to tell you guys. And I don't know why. But we will never find fulfillment in any other relationship if we don't find fulfillment in the Lord first. This can apply to everything, from marriage, to dating, to friendships, to your family. If I wanted to find the fulfillment in my family, I had to find it in the Lord first. If you want to find fulfillment in your dating relationship, you need to find it in God first. You're never going to make it. And that goes the same for weddings and being married and everything. If you want to find fulfillment in your marriage, you need to find fulfillment in the Lord first, because God's the one that created marriage. He knows how it's supposed to operate. And if you don't find your fulfillment in him first, it's not going to last. It's going to stop. And there's nothing worse than knowing that you heard from God and not doing anything about it because you stopped. And I had a bunch of fear and anger built up inside of me. And the most powerful thing that Satan uses against us is our fear and anger, because it does not move you. It stops you completely. Like whenever a pastor was building and knowing that God wanted him to build this church and start a church, he could have listened to all the voices that kept telling him, this is a stupid idea. You're never going to be able to get people in here. I'm like, look around right now. But if he would have listened, it would have stopped him dead in his tracks. And he would not be here right now. And so, because I didn't feel quite done with what I had wrote, the first part that I read you, I made a second part to it. Because I felt like I needed to hear directly from the Lord. And so I wrote it. And it literally brought me to tears. Because when you hear God speak, it moves you. It does not. I'm going to read this to you. I just wanted to speak to you because it's directly from God to you guys. Saying you are one way, but acting another is being a hypocrite. The question is not, am I doing something? But what am I doing in you? There is something you can learn from everyone. There is great, bigger, and new available for your life. But the truth is, it's not about you, but it's what I can do through you. At some point, you must do something, for I have been doing something all along. For you can't move into what I have for you when you won't move out of your sin first. It takes you having faith that changes the situation and atmosphere you are living in. You create the world you live in. So listen to what's coming out of your mouth. If you're not a fighter, become one. For everyone is facing something. But the question is, who is winning? Satan will come against you and after your word, because he knows the power your word has to do something in and through you. So stop watering what you don't want and give your attention to what you want to grow. Your faith needs to be so strong that you can speak to anything. Leave, come back, and see it changed. You need to pull the trigger and activate your faith. For stability and instability is what determines if you will receive something from me. So make sure to get rid of your drive-thru faith and dine in with me. Then you can receive what you need from me in faith. You must relate to and think about those around you. Satan will come against you when life's not going well, but he will also come against you when you think you finally have it all figured out. Change can help you overcome this, for change forces you to choose, and you can choose to actively determine your outcome. Remember this, a wholehearted person is not afraid of what I have told them, and they're not afraid of the next. I want you to be wholehearted. I want you to want my blessings. You just need to make the commitment, then you can proclaim your blessings. When you're worried, you will not be able to walk in your blessings, and it will only stop you in your walk. So while you live in godliness right now, you will receive blessings and prosperity. Give your attention to my spirit and stay and rest in me. For the more I want to use you, the more tempted you will be to quit. For you all have a story that I have put in you. So, if you do the right thing and stay, I will bless you. For sometimes the greatest act of faithfulness is staying right where you are. Know that true love does not exist in the absence of judgment, but it exists in the presence of it. Your confidence should not be in yourself, but in me and the value that I have placed in you. True compassion is when you are making a judgment out of deep conviction and you go and do something about it. If you never learn to honor your parents, you will never learn to honor me. You will be more than capable of honoring others around you when you honor me. You will never find fulfillment in any other relationship if you don't have fulfillment in me first. Don't live on the high of being right. Instead, run to win the race to get a prize for what's right, not what's going to end up hurting you in 5 years. You will have struggles, but they will grow you and build your faith. For it's impossible to please me without faith. In all of this, remember that you have benefits that I have promised if you live a godly life. And I just want to leave you guys with this. I know Chapman already said it, but God's always there. And no matter what you're going through, you have the answer. Whether it's in your word or through what you're hearing at church, you just need to do something about it and hear what he's trying to tell you. That's what I have for you guys.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord. Did you hear from God today? No one's despising you because of your age. You ministered to us all today. We're grateful. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you always. Did you hear that? I'm with you always. Seems to be what God's saying this morning, doesn't it? It's in every one of what we've all said all morning. I'm with you always. God's with us always. This year, the vision has been making disciples. And on Rewind Sunday, I ask you today, do you remember this year? Do you remember 2019? What do you remember? Do you remember you growing as a disciple of Jesus? It's an important question. Have you made disciples this year of people that you're around? Jessica did a great job of pointing out what we need to remember. I love the titles from September through December. And what she said. It can be said, it can be heard, and it cannot be activated. And so in 2019, a lot has been said, a lot has been heard. But my question this morning, how much have been activated? How much has been activated? She said one line as I was looking through her notes, and she sent me her notes, and I love this. If I would have acted on the things that I had been hearing, things would have been different. How sad is it that we can come to a service and hear God speak through his people? All those titles, I don't even know who said what. I just know it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know if it was Chapman, if it was Melanie, if it was Wade, if it was Adam. I don't know who it was, if it was Deanne, if it was me. All I know is the Holy Spirit said some things. And as he said them, they should have impacted our life if we activated what was said. We just can't let 2019 pass us by without activating on what God allowed us to hear. Here's what I believe. I believe that there are times that things go into you and they're there. They're inside of you. Because you can't pull something out of you that's not in there. But as it went in, there are some times that it just went in and it's been sitting dormant. And here's my prayer that today, the last Sunday of 2019, that you will allow that is dormant inside of you to be activated. To be activated today, and the word comes alive. And as you can just kind of rewind and go back to where it was that it was said, you might not even know who said it. You just know the Holy Spirit said that. And she said a whole bunch of them. But I just want to give you a word today that goes right along with everything she said. In fact, as I read it, you'll think she pulled this right out. But she didn't have this scripture. That was just the Holy Spirit revealing to her this scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. I have to end with this. This is very important this year. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15 says, "Therefore I'll always remind you about these things." Peter's saying this. This is Peter after the prideful, arrogant Peter that you read about. This is Peter when he's ministering and he's saying, here guys, here's what I want you to know. I will always remind you about these things. Even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you've been taught, it's only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. That's what he's doing. He's reminding his people, God's people. He's reminding them. And so verse 14 says, "For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone." I never read this that I don't think of my grandfather. My grandfather was a storyteller. And he always had a story to tell you. If you've ever met or had the privilege of meeting my grandfather while he was here on this earth, he told story after story after story. And when you would sit down, he would never ask, "Have I told you this before?" And if you said, "Grandpa, you told us that." And he said, "Well, sit down, I'm gonna tell it again." And I just think of Peter here. He's saying, I'm going to work hard, verse 15. I'm going to work hard to make sure you always remember these things even after I'm gone. That was my grandpa. I'm going to make sure that you remember these stories after I'm gone. Has that not got to be the heart of us as Christians? Jessica will never forget what she did this morning. Because you all can be intimidating. And other times you're very inviting. We have to tell our face what to do. And as we're telling our face and she's speaking, she got to the point where it didn't really matter what your face was doing. It was what God was doing through her. And she just, did you see that? Kind of just as she just started ministering the word, like, whoa. And I'm sitting there listening and I'm thinking, she's telling you don't ever forget 2019. Her mom and dad said, go back and get in your notes. What's that saying? Remember. Remember. Remember what happened. Remember what happened. Now, Peter was telling them, guys, you have to remember. Well, we got to look at what he's telling them to remember. So jump up to the first of 2 Peter chapter 1. We just read 12 through 15. Let's read verse 1 in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, "This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have." All right, this is for all of us because he's writing it to all of those who share the faith that Peter walked in. "This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power," verse 3, is phenomenal. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Come on, church. God has given us everything. Peter was saying this a couple thousand years ago. God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Oh, God, I'm just believing you for. No. I'm believing you for what you've already done because that can be activated and I can have the godly life that God's called me to live right now. Everything has been given for us to have and live a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. Come on, we've got some promises now. We've got some promises. If you jump on down, verse 10. Dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you'll never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He tells them, here's how you operate as a Christian. And I can go back and read that and read that and read that. What you all understand today is you just heard her read a whole bunch of it. That's how we operate. That's how we operate. Let's jump back to verse 12. Peter says, I will always remind you about these things. Verse 13, Peter says, I'll keep on reminding you. I'll always remind you, and then I'm going to keep on reminding you. When someone reminds you, I heard a great story about, there's a great phrase that you can know. When someone reminds you, come on, young people, have your parents ever had to remind you of anything? What they're trying to do is to bring something that's already in you out. They're reminding you. They're reminding you. Here, let me give you this phrase. Don't forget to remember. Some of you are going, that's really different. Reminding is not forgetting to remember. That's what we're doing today. On the last Sunday of 2009, don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. Why is it, do you think, that we need this constant reinforcement of reminding ourselves of the truth? We know the truth. Come on, you sit in church every Sunday this year. You sit on Wednesday nights. You listen to podcasts. You're in your word. Why is it that you think you need a constant reinforcement of reminding? It's because we forget. Here's why. We have leaks. We have leaks in us as Christians. We have leaks. Well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, you know the truth. You're bombarded by world philosophies all the time, everywhere you turn. And you start going, I wonder if that's true. I wonder if that's not true. And we have leaks and we're continually fighting the flesh. And it's just like the Spirit of God's poured into us. And then Tuesday morning, someone backstabs us at work and we're like, oh, I'm supposed to be a Christian and right now I want to punch him. How does that happen? Because we leak, so we got to continue to fill ourselves up. Fill ourselves up. Remind ourselves. Don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. Don't forget to keep filling yourself up. 2 points why we should not forget to remember and why Peter told God's people, you need to not forget to remember. They needed to be reminded, even though they already knew the truth that Peter was speaking about. You know, sometimes you can listen to a sermon, you can read a Christian book, and you can sit there and go, I already know that. I've heard that already. And what we do when we hear that, we just switch ourselves off and we don't activate that which we already knew. Don't forget to remember. So we got to get to a place where we don't forget that we've got to remember. I've heard that already, and we just switch it off spiritually. We switch it off. Peter says that it's important to be reminded of that which you already know. It's important. You got to be reminded of that which you already know. You got to bring out what's already in. And the second point here today, it wasn't a new truth that Peter was bringing to them. They knew it, but they had to hear it. It had to be received. You know, there's kind of a difference between hearing something, listening to something, and then activating something. You, You can hear, you can even listen, and it went in you, but it didn't get activated. I've told you 100 times how to do that. I know that my mom and daddy said that a few times. Have I not shown you how to do that? Yes, you have. Well, did you forget? No, I just chose not to. I don't know. What is it that we do? Something in us just, have I not shown you? Yes, you've shown me, but you didn't activate it. You didn't activate it and make it a part of who you are. Peter said, it's only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as you should live. Back to what Jessica said. She said, if she would have acted on what was said, if she'd have just acted on what was said, if we're going to be a true disciple of Jesus, we've got to activate our faith. 2 Peter 1:13. I want to end with this. This is really important. 2 Peter 1:13 in the New American Standard Bible says it a little different. It's not just talking about reminding. Here's what it says. I consider it right as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, long as I'm alive, Peter says, to stir you up by way of reminder. I like that, the way that's said in the New American Standard. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to stir you up to remember. Yeah, that's a pastor's heart. To stir God's people up to remember. Peter says that even though you've heard the truth, sometimes you got to stir up that truth. You got to get that truth kind of stirred up. And here's the thing. When you're not stirred up in the truth, you're in a scary place. You're in a scary place. We've got to remember the importance of what we believe. And not just believe it on Sunday morning, but we got to believe it on Monday morning and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday. It's got to be a 24/7 day in. God didn't go anywhere. His truth is inside of you, and your responsibility is to get it activated. Get it moving. Get it moving in your life. I'm not coming to reveal a new message this morning. All I wanted to do was stir you up. Everything that's been said in 2019 should stir you a little bit. Come on, it should stir you up and get you excited about. And you got to reflect on what God has done. As you look back at 2019, here's the thing. I can write a bunch of stories. It was a great year for Michelle and I. Great year. 2 new grandbabies. I'm just telling you, this is a great year. I don't, Kelly and Deanna, I don't know if you feel any of what I'm talking about this morning. Just what a year. James and Carolyn, you know what I'm talking about? I can look back and I can go, how did I miss the joy that I'm now walking in? I want to never forget. Because on Tuesday or Wednesday, next week or the following week, somebody's going to say something that was just like a dagger trying to stick right through my heart. And I've got to not forget to remember. See, that this has got to be how we operate. And as we end this year, our last Sunday, I want to reflect on what God did. Now, you may be sitting there this morning and go, hey, you know, 2019 wasn't really that great a year for me. Let me just tell you all that went wrong. That's why God said, right there in that whole passage, I give you some precious promises. And if you're standing on the Bible, and you're going to stand on the Word, and you're not going to forget to remember, then we're going to go back and we're going to look at the promises God has for our life. Well, that didn't happen for me. That didn't happen. I don't know about that. I just, yeah, you're blessed, but our life's horrible. There's a promise, and you better get the Word of God so in you that that's what's coming out. I'm believing. I'm standing. I'm going to stand in faith, and I'm going to activate my faith, and I'm going to put my hand to the plow. And at the end of 2020, let me just tell you, I'll be preaching that message.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.